A reading from 1 John, the third chapter. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we are being honest, there is something inside of Lutherans that doesn't like that imperative reflexive in that last verse of our reading at all. Surely the apostle got it wrong. We don't purify ourselves, do we? Oh, pity sakes, let us lose the pride with which we would correct God the Holy Spirit and instead submit ourselves to his words. It's not our place to be rewriting, glossing, or ignoring what St. John the Apostle wrote to us under the Holy Spirit's tutelage, just because it doesn't fit nicely into our theological schemata. So much the worse for our theological schemata. But of course, we ought to begin not at the tail of the pericope, but at its head. The self-purification comes after being invited to do two other verbs. And the first one is see. That is marvel, behold, stand in awe, be blown away by the kind of love that the Father has for us. That we get to be called and to actually be children of God. St. John began his gospel with that marveling, you recall. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God. Children who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You must be born again. And you have been, of water and the Spirit. John knows, of course, that the world doesn't see us that way. And by world, he means here, of course, not the creation, which St. Paul does say is standing on tiptoe eagerly waiting for this moment when our glory is going to be unveiled at Christ appearing. They're waiting for it, the whole creation crying out for it. No, he means instead our fellow fallen human creatures who just absolutely miss the boat on what God is up to. Hence, earlier in the epistle, he said, Love not the world. Love not the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, that's not from the Father. It's from the world. So, of course, the world doesn't get who you really are. And it doesn't treat you in ways that accord with your real and hidden and inner dignity. And that should surprise you not at all. Look at how it treated him. Why? Because it does not recognize him as the Son of the Father. It does not recognize those whom he has brought into the Father's family as being members of that family. But there's more. Not just to behold the kind of love the Father has given us. The Apostle John summons you to awe not only at what is. He wants your mind and imagination to be filled with the hope of what is coming. He admits up front, we can't really wrap our minds around it, but we do know this, that when this one who is crucified for you, when he appears again, then we are going to be like him. We're going to be changed. St. Paul wrote the same thing to the Philippians. At the moment of his appearing, he says, he's going to change our lowly bodies. And he's going to make them be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue everything to himself. Or the way that Daniel would say it, chapter 12, that at the resurrection, your body, this stuff is going to shine like the stars in the skies. It's going to shine. Impossible to wrap your noggin around it. But St. John says, you know, that's where you're headed. And so now we come back to the verb that you wanted to fix for St. John. Everyone who thus hopes in him, beholding now what we are in him already, child of God, looking forward to what we're going to be when he appears, glorified in our very flesh, everyone with this great hope purifies himself, present tense, as he is pure. Does it begin to make some sense in light of the dignity that is already yours as a child of God, bought with the blood of the cross, born of water and the Spirit? In light of the astounding glory that you're headed for, that's going to be shining out of your body on that day, in light of that, St. John says, it's your joy, it's your delight and privilege to get to work purifying yourselves from everything that's contrary to that life. You consecrate yourself for the coming future glory. How do you do that? Well, let's shift from John to Paul for just a minute. Good thing Kevin's not here. He'd be yelling at me for doing this. In fact, he already did yell at me for doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. This is where Paul gets into his redressing language. So sometimes my youngest daughter arches her eyebrow, and she says to me, you're not really thinking about going out in public dressed in that, are you? Which always leads me to hang my head and retreat to my closet and try to find something that will pass muster with the fashionista of the family. So when the occasion that you're going out for is your future glory,
time to start tossing in the corner or into the burn pile the rags that don't fit with that future glory. Off goes the pride. Off goes the anger. Off goes the grudges. Off goes the nasty talk, the lewd behavior, the greed, all the junk that doesn't fit with who you are and where you're headed. Toss it all off. And instead, wrap yourself up in the glory robes of your baptism. St. Paul described it in Galatians 5 as love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, and you know the rest of the Spirit's fruit. Your pilgrimage here in this world becomes then a constant undressing and redressing, a purifying. You keep putting off and you keep putting on, living every single day in this contrition and faith, this life aimed at where you're headed. All of which is a way of saying, as the children of God, aimed at glory, you're already itching to start living out the life that's going to be yours forever. This life of shining, burning, glowing love right here, right now. You don't have to wait for the future for it to be there. You can already begin living it now, even though you live it in great frailty and weakness. You know what you are? You are colonists. Colonists from God's future. And so be happy to be weird in the eyes of the world. Do you know the world is threatened by you because you smell funny? It sniffs you. And there is an alien odor on you that it does not like. It's the smell of resurrection. It's the smell of incorruption, of the life that is forever beyond death. The world smells that and goes, that doesn't belong here. And you smell it and you go, that's home. And that's where you belong to. Come, join us. Heading toward the life that never ends, the glory of the kingdom, the light that will appear when Jesus appears and when your body shines in his glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.